Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David. This is the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, miles out the 12th Hour, Little Hill, Texas. Today is May 15, 2017, or it is Ziff 19, 2021. We will start our second service today with a song entitled Higher Ground.
Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Your great house onward bound, yet got my feet on higher ground. Now lift me up and I shall stand. Faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I've found. Now plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may grow, let these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Now lift me up and I shall stand. My faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Yet got my feet on high. Your ground. I want to live above the world. Oh, Satan's dark, let me ahead. For faith is caught, that joyful sound. The song of saints on higher ground. Now lift me up and I shall stand. Sit on heaven's table land, a higher place than I have found. Walk at my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray, in heaven I'll find, Yah lead me on to higher ground. Yah lift me up and I shall stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher place than I have found, Yah put my feet on
Part 27, Gentiles. We're in 1 Peter chapter 5, Christian Leaders and Conduct. Okay, for the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of the Yeshua, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of Yahweh, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by the constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither by being lords over Yahweh's heritage, but being examples unto the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Yahweh resisted the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of Yahweh, that he may exalt you in the due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Him resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verily, the Yahweh of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by the Yahshua Messiah, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, unto him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Closing greetings of verse 12. By Salvanius, a faithful brother, unto you, as I suppose, have written briefly exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace. This is the true grace of the Yahweh wherein you stand. For the congregation that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluted you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in the Yahshua Messiah. 2 Peter. Okay, that's in the book of 1 Peter. Let's go into the 2 Peter. Peter is the author of this book, which was probably written in A.D. 66. Each chapter in 2 Peter focuses on a different... each chapter in the 2 Peter focuses on a different topic in the chapter. 1, Peter encourages the reader to continue to grow spiritually. Chapter 2 deals with the false doctrine and false teachers. Chapter 3 is a prophetic chapter relating unto the return of Yahshua and the judgments that will follow Yahshua's return. One of the most often quoted scriptures concerning the delay in the Yahshua's return can be found in 2 Peter 3, 8, and 9. Spiritual growth and faithfulness. 1 Peter 1:1-1:21. Let's go on in now to the first chapter of 2 Peter. Spiritual growth and faithfulness is the topic of this chapter. Chapter 1, verse 1, began, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Yahshua Messiah, unto them that are obtained, that have obtained like the precious faith, in the blood of the Yahshua, with us through the righteousness of the Yahweh and our Savior, Messiah, Yahshua. Now let's look at that again. Simon Peter is a servant and an apostle of the Yahshua Messiah, unto them that have obtained of the like precious faith in the new and living way by the blood of sprinkling of the Yahshua with us. So he says with us. Talking about those Gentiles with us. Okay, he says that through the righteousness of the Yahweh and of our Savior, the Yahshua Messiah. Okay, like precious faith in the blood of the Yahshua with us. So Peter is talking to these Gentiles. And he says, unto them that have obtained of the like precious faith with us. through the righteousness of the Yahweh, the Father, and our Savior, Yahshua, the Messiah. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of the Yahweh and of Yahshua, our Savior. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and righteousness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith in blood of Yahshua virtue, and unto the virtue the knowledge, and unto the knowledge temperance, and unto the temperance patience, and unto the patience righteousness, and unto righteousness brotherly kindness, and unto brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Savior Yahshua the Messiah. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You get that? Had forgotten that he was purged. In other words, he had accepted the plan of salvation in the blood of Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:20. By the blood of sprinkling, Hebrews 12. And I just read to you in the first chapter of Peter, the first book, about the blood of sprinkling unto the elect. And so now it says, but he that lacketh these things. And what all did we read there? Now, well, he said he lacked, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, righteousness, kindness. There's about 5 or 6 items there. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore, verse 10, brethren, give diligence for the making of your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom Yahshua, or the Yahweh, the Father, the everlasting kingdom of the Father, Yahweh, and His Son, our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in the remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by the putting you in the remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Savior Yahshua the Messiah has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Savior Yahshua the Messiah, but were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. For He received from the Yahweh the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice unto Him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from the heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of the prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of the man. The holy men of Yahweh spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. False teachers and doctrines. 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresy, even denying the Yeshua that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by the reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through the covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For the Yahweh spared not the angel that sinned, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto the judgment, and spared not the old world, but spared Noah, the eighth son, eighth person, a preacher of the righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the unrighteousness. So what happens today when the antitypical Noah again comes on the scene, and indeed has already come on the scene in the message of his people, and he starts preaching righteousness? Well, it's going to bring in a whole flood of judgment upon the world. And you can read that in Revelation chapter 12. You can read that very readily. It says in verse 1 of Revelation 12, "And there appeared a great wonder in the heaven, a woman clothed the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." This is the judgment in the 12th hour, Revelation 12. "And she being with child, cried, travailing in the birth, and pain to be delivered." And this antipathy took place there in 2002 at Kermit. "And there appeared another wonder in the heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head." Well, when would this old red dragon representing Lucifer, which is Lucifer, or when would he make his grand appearance? Right at the very time that this woman is ready to deliver. That's the way he did at the cross. He's done the same thing again. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them onto the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up unto Yahweh and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of Yahweh, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in the heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our Yahweh, and the power of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before Elohim day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not the laws unto the death. Okay, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man child. And unto the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, and that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nursed for a time and times and half a time. This is a 1260-year period, from 538 to 1798, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now this woman antiquely was represented by Gilead Center. And when Brother Johnson brought Gilead Center to a close, and the closing at the 11th parabolic hour in 2002, it's coming in 2003, what did he do? He accomplished this right here. The flood of false doctrine. He ended up with total false doctrine, completely lost all inspiration. He couldn't even interpret the unleavened bread correctly for the Passover. It was so sad. It was so sad. And so we call the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, because the woman was represented there as Kermit. And the woman escaped. She escaped. Yahshua came and delivered her. He delivered her from the Satan's clutches, and he delivered her out of there and brought her about 400 miles due east to Liberty Hill, Texas, and set her up out here in a hideaway place where we have been now going on 12 years, ready to be revealed, come to the light sometime in the very near future. Okay. It says, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah. So what did this woman have to do in order to continue on and be delivered there if coming? First, she had to come out from among them and be separate. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse about 17 on. And it said, had to come out and be ye separate, touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's what we represented this woman. And we've come out, and one of the first things I had done, though, is I'd given Brother Johnson a message to heaven, saying, if you don't restore the daily, I will. Well, that's the woman making a declaration that the daily had been trampled underfoot, and that's the heartbeat of the sanctuary service, is the daily. That's what we're doing now. We're doing our second daily of the day right now. And so, anyway, it says there in Revelation 12:17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. So the woman's seed are the Gentiles. First it's 144,000, but 144,000 has already come out with the woman as far as they've been sidelined. But they have already been, in the books of the records in heaven, has already been taken care of. But the remnant of her seed is the Gentile nation, and that's what we're dealing with right now, Gentiles. Okay? So now, in 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 6, it says, and turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live unrighteously, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing vex his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. For the Yeshua knoweth how to deliver the righteous out of the temptations, and reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. We witnessed this right there in Kermit, Texas. We witnessed this over 1 year, from Passover 2002 to Passover 2003. We witnessed our Savior coming to our rescue, coming to our aid, because he knoweth how to deliver the righteous out of the temptations. And the temptations were all around us in the Gilead Center. The person that sit right next to you, or it could be in right across the aisle. But they were all around us, temptations, because they had reverted. Well, they had never really completely come out of idol worship. And so they had their idols with them, and they brought them into the congregation, and so forth. And it was very sad. It was very sad, but nothing we could do about it until Yeshua came and delivered us, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of the judgment to be punished. Verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after flesh in the lust of the uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-will. They are not afraid to speak evil of the dignity. And this word government, this is so real. This is so true at Kermit. Because Rutus Johnson, when he started his ministry in 1970, he said, Yahweh told me to make a creation calendar, and he gave me the knowledge to do it with, and wisdom. And he said, and teach my people my government. That was his theme song. That was Rutus Johnson's theme song for, I know, the first 7 years of Kermit. Teach my people my government. So we know that he ended up apostatizing from that government that he taught us and Yahweh's people. He published it. He sent it out to the Adventist world. So he published Yahweh's government, sent it out to the Adventist world, faithfully did his job, at least for the first 7 years. He did very good. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Okay. So it's these leaders that apostatize that are presumptuous or self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Brother Johnson didn't know that I was one of those dignities that Yahweh had raised up in his midst to deliver the Gilead Center out of the 11th hour into the 12th parabolic hour. We had the message, we had the sanctuary system restored, we had everything printed and published that taught sanctification right to the very nth degree. So we had everything right there. So it says, verse 11, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Yahweh. Okay. It says, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Okay, and shall receive the reward of the unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Well, folks, we know exactly what that's all about. We witnessed it. Having eyes full of the adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, fallen the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. For the dumb ass speaking with the man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, and to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of the vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. So we were clean escaped from them because they lived in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Yahweh and his son Yahshua, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of the righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. See, it says in Luke 12:47-48. Let's read a little bit earlier. Let's read verse 45-48. Let's back up a little bit. Let's read verse 42. And Yahshua said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, when whom his master shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in the due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he shall will make him ruler over all that he hath. And if that servant say in his heart, My master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants," so it says men servants here, "and maidens, and to eat and drink, to be drunken, Yahshua of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." So what hour was this talking about? This is talking about the end of the 11th hour and the approaching of the 12th hour. And that servant, which the Yahshua, which knew his master's will, I'm going to put the name in here, and that servant, Brother W. Johnson, that knew his master's will and prepared not himself, neither did according unto his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And unto whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And it says in verse 49 of Luke chapter 12, "I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straight until it be accomplished?" I asked my Adventist minister in the Adventist church over 50 years ago. He was a professor at the King College of Religion, and he could speak Hebrew fluently. Oh, he was pride himself in knowing the Hebrew law, and he had a priestly attire with the Urim and Thummim on it. He had the whole thing, and he'd dress up in that at the camp meetings, and he would put on programs about the high priest system there and so forth. This man was smart. And I asked him one day, I said, "What does it mean right here in like in Luke 12:50? "Well, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straight until it be accomplished?" And I says, "What does it mean to be baptized with the baptism?" And he didn't know how to answer. He evaded the question. Verse 51 of Luke chapter 12. Suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. See, we had a division. Yahshua came to the threshold of the house. The brother said he was going to come and turn to Texas. And 2002 at the Passover, he announced that several months ahead of time. He said, this is the antitypical year for the appearance of our Savior. He's going to come and he's going to bring unity. And he's going to bring us all into unity, and we're going to have the best Passover we've ever had. But we had the worst Passover we ever had, and he didn't bring unity. He brought disunity. Yahshua brought disunity. What he actually did, he brought a division. He made a division. So this right here, Luke 12:51, made us fulfillment there in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. Verse 52, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, isn't this amazing? That in this household, the parents are separated from their children, and their mother-in-laws are separated from their daughter-in-law. So, in other words, the old ones had apostatized, and that's they had gone back to their old ways, and the young ones wanted to move on with the new and living way, and so that's what brought the division. Verse 54, Luke 12. And he said also unto the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? You've been preaching that we're in the 11th hour for 33 and a half years, from 1970 to 2003. Come it, brothers. You've been preaching that for... You knew where we were at. But you didn't know when the approaching hour, number 12, was going to happen. You didn't know when the 11th was going to come to an end. You just got settled on the 11th. You said, well, it's going to last forever until the end of time. Well, we're in the last hour. So that's what Vicky Otto said, and that's what Ben Roden said. And so that's what I say. But Matthew 20 said, didn't agree with that. But the parable of Matthew 20 from 1 through 6 did not agree with that. And so Rhoda Johnson and Ben Roden and Rhoda B.T. Hall, they all talk contrary to Matthew 20. Okay? But when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be heat, and it come to pass. All right, he says, verse 57, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? He says, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Don't you have the law and the testimony. Brother Johnson restored it 100%, all the ordinances, we had it. So how come we couldn't judge right among ourselves? Because it had been apostatized from by the leadership. Right? So it says in Luke 12:58, when thou goest with thine adversary unto the magistrates, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell you, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Okay, so you're going to pay your pound of flesh when you apostatize and the civil authorities take over, and they prosecute you according to their interpretation of your false, what they call your false doctrine and false religion that you've been teaching. They don't like it, but actually they don't know that it's false doctrine. But they just know they don't like true doctrine either. The magistrates out there in the world, they don't like true doctrine, and they don't know what, because they're living in false doctrine to begin with. So when they deliver you up, and you've been a teacher of righteousness at one time, you have apostatized, then that they punish you for your being a teacher of righteousness, not because you're the teacher of false doctrine. So there you have it. That's the end of Luke chapter 12, that part I did read, from about 42 on through 59. Okay, so now, the commandment delivered unto Kermit in 1970, according here to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for it had been better for them, Brother W. Johnson, and the leaders down there, not to have known the way of righteousness. Brother Johnson wrote a tract on righteousness by faith. Okay. Then, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them? My goodness, that holy commandment means the whole sanctuary system restored intact, with all the ordinances and all the divine institutions restored. Verse 22, but it has happened unto them according unto the true proverb, the dog is turned unto his own vomit again, and the sow, that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Oh my goodness, you mean to tell me our leaders were classified really as dogs and hogs? Well, according to this, those that apostatize from the leadership of the truth, they are classified as dogs returning into their vomit. This is horrible, folks. This is horrible to even think about it, but you know, Isaiah 56, Isaiah 56 kind of tells us a little bit, as Isaiah saw into the future on these things. He talks about, thus saith Yahweh, verse 1, Isaiah 56, thus saith Yahweh, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. So apparently, in 2002, this met its fulfillment as well, Isaiah 56:1. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth these Sabbaths from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Now to let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself unto the Yahweh, through the blood of his son, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, speak saying unto the Yahweh hath utterly separated me from his people. Now to let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. Okay. For thus saith Yahweh unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me. And it says Sabbath with an S, I'm talking about all the feast days. And choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and of the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves unto the Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of the Yahweh, to be his servant, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of the prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for in mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Now, in Kermit, Texas, that was what Brother Johnson taught us for all of the time we were there. He said, our house represents the house of prayer for all people. So go out and get and invite as many Adventists and Gentiles and anybody that will listen to you and come. So it's for all people, except for those that disagreed with him when he apostatized. It wasn't for them anymore, especially his loyal servants like myself and my wife, who had been for 33 and a half years. We have been the most dependable people he had in camp. As a matter of fact, he told me one day, he said, well, this church couldn't operate. It couldn't do anything. We didn't have you and your wife contributing what you contribute. He said, We can depend on you all for anything we need, he said. We can always call on you all. And it says we can't even do that with our own family. He says you all are the most dependable. And it says, he told me, he said he was grateful for it. He was thankful for it. And then look what he did. But whenever he apostatized and he had to find somebody that was the cause of it, he had to blame somebody, so he blamed me and cast me out, and the rest of it became history. But he's for the Yahweh Elohim, which gathered the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others unto him besides those that are gathered unto him. There in verse 9, Isaiah 56, accusations against the unrighteous. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Isn't this amazing? So, this verse 11 of Isaiah 56 calls them dumb dogs. Okay. And so, what is 2 Peter chapter 2 call them? Verse 22, but it has happened unto them according unto the true proverb, the dog is turned unto his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed unto her wallowing in the mire. But folks, I have seen both of these. Because my daddy, when he was converted completely, he raised hogs out there on the farm. My mother hated it, couldn't stop him. He was determined to raise them hogs. Thought we had to have them to make an extra living. We didn't eat them, but we sold them. And we raised them. We had about 2,700 acres of brush on our farmland that had acorns. These acorns, and it made the hogs fat, and it was free. It was free food for the hogs, and they had 2,700 acres to roam on. And so they would go out there, and we bought about 100 head of hog, and they would eat these acorns and get real fat. And then we would sell them, and they would make us a big profit without much investment. And that's why my dad bought these hogs. But finally, he got rid of them, and never more to have them anymore. They caused too much trouble in the end. And he finally got rid of them, and we thank Yahweh for that. And he never got any more after that. But anyway, I witnessed the old sow. She'll go right to that mud hole. And she can look real clean after a rain, and I mean, they look shiny and clean, and first mud hole they find, they go get in it. And I seen the dog, we had our own dog vomit up, and I seen our own dog turn right around, went back and eat his vomit. I have seen that with my own eyes. 2 Peter chapter 3, Yahshua's return. For this is the second epistle, beloved. I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure mind by the way of the remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Savior and Yahshua. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of Yahweh the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with the water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of the judgment and perdition of the unrighteous men. There's that word perdition. That's a very key word. Perdition means that there's no more probation. There's no more chances for them to change their course. Verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Yahshua as a thousand years, and a thousand years as the one day, or the one day with the Yahweh. For the Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering unto usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. That the day of the Yahshua will come as a thief in the night. You can go to Matthew 24, and has this information on that and other places. And that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and righteousness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Yahshua, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. On account that this long suffering of our Savior is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according unto the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, shall fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, and unto him be glory both now and forever. Hallelujah. That's the end of the book of Peter. Let's go now on into 1 John, the Epistle of John. 1 John was written by John, an apostle of Yahshua, between A.D. 85 and A.D. 90, beginning with the very basic premise of sin. John moves quickly unto the truth of the salvation through the new and living way by the blood of Yahshua, Messiah, confession, obedience, and love for fellow believers are touted as the necessary ingredients in a believer's life. Chapter 4 opens with a method of the determining false teaching and continues with a description of the love, the power of love, and the results of love. John closed with the assurance of the eternal life, instructions concerning prayer, and the believer's relationship unto sin. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of the life. That's chapter 1, verse 1. And the message in this chapter is Yahshua, sin and the believer. Verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life that was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that Yahweh is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yahshua Messiah, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That is, there's that blood, see? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. All right, that's the end of chapter 1, 1 John. And we're actually getting close to the end of our studies this hour, so I'm just going to close this out and save chapter 2 of 1 John for our beginning of our next study of the Gentiles, number 28. We're going to close now with a song. He hideth my soul.
Oh, wonderful Savior, yes, for my King. A wonderful Savior to me. He hardeneth my soul in the dust of the rock. The rivers of pleasure I see. He hardeneth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows of brightest daylight. He hardeneth my life in the depths of his love, and charges me there with his hand, and charges me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Yahshua my King. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and up shall I be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hardeneth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows of darkness delight. He hardeneth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowned, and filled with his fullness me find. I sing in my rapture, O glory to Yah, O such a Redeemer as mine. He hardeneth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of darkness delight. He hardeneth my life in the depths of his love. He covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. when slow the head brightness and spoiled arrives, hailing in the clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I saw the lips of millions on high. He haunted my soul in the clouds of the Lord, that shadows the darkest land. He haunted my life in the depths and has love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.